Let's open our Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, and we'll take a number of scriptures from Matthew for our scripture reading this morning, beginning with Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Matthew chapter 8. Verse 10. Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following, "Truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel." Chapter 8, verse 26. He said to them, "Why are you afraid, you men of little faith?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and it became perfectly calm. Matthew chapter 14, verse 31. Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, took hold of him, and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Matthew 16, verse 8. But Jesus, aware of this, said, "You men of little faith, why do you discuss among yourselves that you have no bread?" And Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. And he said to them, "Because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you." Heavenly Father, help us now today to see again what faith is and how faith operates. And Lord, may it be an encouragement to everyone who is already saved, and Lord, may it be an awakening to any who are yet unsaved, that they might believe on Jesus for their salvation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have established that the validity of faith depends on the validity of the object of faith to guarantee the correct result. We've illustrated that in numbers of ways over the last few weeks. The validity of your faith in your seat that you're sitting in right now is in the quality, the strength, of the seat. It is not in the amount or the intensity of the faith that you have in it. The seat can either hold you up or it can't. The validity of faith in the rope bridge that I talked about crossing last time is in the quality of the bridge, not the intensity of how much you believe the bridge can hold you. The validity of faith in the solid ice that you're going to use to cross the pond is in the thickness and strength of the ice, not in how much you believe in it. Okay? The validity is determined by the object of the faith to guarantee the correct result, namely to hold you up or to get you across. The validity of faith is not determined by the amount or the intensity or the sincerity of faith. It's determined by the object. Now, there should be some questions. I'm sort of surprised nobody asked me these after the last couple weeks. But here are maybe some possible questions. How are we to understand biblical phrases? We read some of them in our scripture reading. Biblical phrases like little faith. What do you mean, little faith? Great faith. And we'll look at some others this morning. Strong in faith. Weak in faith. As your faith grows. Sincere faith. A measure of faith. Full of faith. Your faith is greatly increased. What do those mean if the validity of faith is determined by the object, not the amount or the intensity of faith? Okay, well then, what are those phrases in your Bible? How does faith grow or increase? And can faith decrease? And what do those things even mean? Okay, let's try to illustrate this a little bit, and then we'll look at some of these Bible verses. Let's take, we've used 1 plus 1 equals 2 as an illustration, right? Now, to believe that 1 plus 1 equals 2, you must believe in the existence of one. You must believe that if you put another one next to it, that that is addition. So you believe in one, you believe in addition, then you believe that the result equals 2. So you have a little faith. You believe in a few things. 1, and addition, and 2. Now, when you believe in 1 and addition and 2, you can take 2 and add 1, and now you believe in 3. Do you know what? Your faith just grew. Okay? You now believe more. And once you believe in 3, you can believe in 4 and 5 and 6. Once you believe in addition, you can believe in subtraction. Once those begin to spread, they gradually increase. You can believe in multiplication and division, and eventually you can believe in algebra and trigonometry and calculus and all those things. So your faith increases in that sense. Now, does that have anything to do with the amount of your faith? No, it has to do with the amount of the objects which you believe. That's how faith grows. Now, so let's say you believe all that, and you say, well, why do I believe 1 plus 1 equals 2? Well, probably somebody demonstrated that to you, right? You believe it on the basis of empirical evidence. So now you believe in demonstration and evidence also. Those can be added on there. And you believe on the basis of that. Maybe you even start to believe in a calculator, you know, that you use to compute things. And we could go on and on. But let's just say you get to some point that you're dealing with numbers that you can't picture or relate to. You know, most of you can picture 1, 2, 5, 10, 100, even 1,000 or more. Can you picture 1 trillion? Can you? So maybe you're given this challenge. What is 10 trillion times 10 trillion? And you go, you know what? I know according to the tables and all of that, I should say 100 trillion. But do you know what? I just don't believe it. I can't picture 100 trillion. By the way, neither can your government with the national debt. So I guess they don't believe in it. I can't picture it. So I don't believe it. I've never actually counted to a trillion. And so I don't really know if that's possible. So I don't know if I believe that. And so you stop believing that. You hit a limit at some point. Well, when you stop believing in a trillion, you know, stop believing in 100 trillion, you end up not believing in 1 trillion. And maybe that makes you stop believing in a billion, right? And maybe that stops you from believing in a million. Maybe that stops you from believing in multiplication. What's happening? Your belief is decreasing. Now, hopefully you won't continue that process, but if you did continue that process, what would happen? You would get down to the point where you're not even sure if 1 + 1 = 2 anymore, right? Okay, so it can decrease and then it becomes little faith because it's not in as many objects as it used to be. Or you say, well, I'm going to change my mind and believe again. Well, then it can become much faith and increase. Let's apply this to saving faith, to your salvation. So you hear John 3:16 or John 6:47 and you believe it. You believe Jesus for eternal life. And the Bible says that when you believe Jesus for eternal life, you what? You have eternal life. You believe Jesus for salvation, you have salvation. Okay? Oh, why do you believe that? Well, maybe you would say, I guess I believed it because the Bible said it. Right? So now you believe Jesus, you believe in eternal life, in salvation, and you believe the Bible and what the Bible says. And you begin to conclude, I think I believe everything that the Bible says. Why did I need to believe and have eternal life and be saved? Well, the Bible says it's because I've sinned. So I believe in that because the Bible says it. And the more I begin to hear the truth of the Bible and come to know what the Bible says, the more I believe. My faith is growing, not because it's more intense, but because I believe more and more truth. So I begin to believe everything the Bible says about Jesus, His deity, His death, His resurrection, His ascension, His coming again, the future, all of His promises. And I begin to believe those promises are for me. What's happening? My faith is increasing. It's not that my faith is more. It's not that my faith is of greater intensity. It's that I have faith in more and more valid objects that are spoken to me in the Bible. And so faith grows in that sense. Now, let's just say you're reading your Bible one day, and you're reading in Genesis chapter 5, and you read that there was this guy named Methuselah, and he lived to be 960 years old, right? And you say, you know what? I've never seen anybody 960 years old. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Okay, so you don't believe that Methuselah lived to be 960 years old. Now, what does that mean? Because when you stop believing that Methuselah was 960 years old, you no longer believe that everything that the Bible says is true. Right? So your faith in that sense is decreasing. Maybe if you don't believe Methuselah lived to be 960 years old, maybe you have a hard time believing Adam lived to be 930 years old in Genesis 5. And if you don't believe Adam lived to be 930 years old, maybe you don't believe what Genesis says about creation and about sin. And then all of a sudden you start questioning all kinds of other things in the Bible. And your faith in that sense is decreasing. It's not decreasing in intensity or in amount. It's decreasing in terms of the objects it believes. If you can't believe that Methuselah lived to be 960 years old, and then you come and hear Pastor Keith preaching about the millennial kingdom, and people will live to be 1,000 years old. They'll live 1,000 years through the millennial kingdom, and you go, yeah, right. So now you don't believe those things concerning the millennial kingdom, and then you don't believe the things about the return of Jesus, and then pretty soon you don't believe other things. Now, again, hopefully you won't continue that process. But if you do, you will get to the point of, I don't really believe that Jesus saved me. Okay? Now, if someone genuinely believed that Jesus saved them, they can never get to that reverse point. Never. But there are people who do get to that point, but they didn't really believe it in the first place. Okay, so that's how faith grows or increases, and that's how it decreases. And let's think about that just a little bit from our passages this morning. Passages about little faith. Matthew chapter 6, verse 30, and Luke chapter 12, verse 28. You of little faith, Jesus said to his disciples, you of little faith. Now, what was Jesus talking about? Little faith. They believed, if you just read the whole passage, they believed that God cares for grass and flowers and birds. Okay, God cares for those things. They see it all around them and they believe that. They do not believe that God cares for them. That's why Jesus calls it little faith. Okay? They believe, but they only believe this much. They don't believe this much. Matthew chapter 8, verse 26, and Luke 8:25. You men of little faith, they're out in the boat, a storm comes up. If you recall, Jesus is sleeping in the boat. Remember that? Okay, Jesus is sleeping in the boat. Do they believe that Jesus can save them from the storm? Yes, they do. They even ask him to. What they don't believe is that Jesus is saving them from the storm while he's sleeping. They don't believe that Jesus has already saved them from the storm. So Jesus says, you are men of little faith. You believe this much that I can calm the storm, but you don't believe that I already did it and that I did it while I was sleeping. You don't believe that. So they have little faith. Matthew 14:31. This is Peter walking on the water. Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, took hold of him and said to him, you of little faith. Why did you doubt? What do you mean, Peter's of little faith? I mean, after all, he was the one who walked on the water, right? Okay, Peter believed when Jesus said to him, come on out here on the water. Peter believed that. And he came and walked on the water. But when Peter saw the storm and the waves rising, he began to sink. What had happened? He did not believe that Jesus had power over the storm. He believed that Jesus' word was true to make him walk on water. He didn't believe Jesus had power over the storm. He believed that the storm was more powerful than Jesus. That's why he believed this much, but he didn't believe this much, did he? Had little faith. Matthew 16, verse 8. You men of little faith, why do you discuss among yourselves that you have no bread? If you remember the context there, the disciples had forgotten to take bread with them on the boat for their journey. Did they believe that Jesus could supply bread? Yes, they did. They'd actually just in Matthew chapter 14 seen him do it. Okay, that he multiplied the loaves and the fishes. They knew Jesus could supply bread. Here's what they didn't believe. They didn't believe that Jesus would supply bread for them when they thought it was their fault because they forgot and they thought maybe Jesus wasn't happy with them. So again, they believed this, that Jesus could provide bread, but they didn't believe this, that Jesus would do it for them. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. The apostles attempted to cast a demon out of a man's son, and they failed. They didn't do it. They asked Jesus later, why couldn't we do it? By the way, Jesus came and did it. Healed the boy. Why couldn't they do it? Jesus said, because of the littleness of your faith. Now, what do you mean, the littleness of faith? Did the apostles believe that Jesus had given them authority to cast out demons? Yes, they did. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 says he did, and they knew that. They believed that they had authority to cast out demons. What they did not believe was that this applied to this demon, to this kind of demon, that Jesus said, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. They didn't believe that they could cast out that kind of demon. Did they have faith? Yeah. Why is it little faith? Because they didn't have faith in this. For this. You see, little faith is not the smallness of the amount of faith, nor is it a lack in intensity of faith. Little faith is real faith in just a limited object, but not more and more. And Jesus said, it's not about the amount. If you just had faith the size of a mustard seed, very small, tiny, you could say to this mountain, move, and it'll move, and nothing will be impossible. The point was, they did not have faith for this. They had faith for other times, but they didn't have faith for this. And Jesus says, if you just had mustard seed faith, it would have happened. Great faith. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 10. You'll also find it in Luke chapter 7, verses 7 through 9. This is a centurion whose servant was sick and about to die. In this passage, Jesus said, I will come and heal him. Okay? He had a word from Jesus. The centurion believed the healing word from Jesus. And he believed that that healing word would heal. The centurion also believed that when an authority, one in authority, commands something, it is done. Now, why did he believe that? Because he had experience in it as the leader over 100, a leader over men. And when he gave a command, it was what? It was carried out. It wasn't questioned. Why? He had authority. So he believed that. Now, he didn't see himself as worthy of receiving this gift of healing. And Jesus doesn't even argue that point. He's not. Actually, no one is. He's not. But Jesus came, and the centurion applied his belief in Jesus' healing word and his belief in the authority of the one in authority to accomplish the result. And he applied that to the healing of the servant, and he was healed. So Jesus said, this man has great faith. I've not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. Why? Because the centurion believed this, and he also believed this, and he also believed this. So his faith was great because he believed in more objects. Increase our faith. Luke chapter 17, verses 5 and 6. Jesus told the apostles that they needed to forgive, in this context, 7 times a day. Now I know Matthew 18, he says 70 times 7. But in this context, 7 times a day. The apostles thought that forgiving the same person 7 times a day was impossible. You might think that too. Say, well, maybe after the 2nd or 3rd time I'm going to say, you idiot, you know, I'm done with this. But Jesus said, forgive 7 times a day. They thought that was impossible. And they thought that required increased faith. They said, Lord, increase our faith. Now, they were thinking, Lord, increase the amount of our faith. Jesus said, no. You don't need the amount of your faith increased. If you had faith like a mustard seed, tiny faith, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Jesus said, your problem isn't that you need more faith. The problem is you need to believe me when I say to you, forgive 7 times a day. And if you believe me, it'll be possible. It can happen. All things will be possible for you. Mustard seed faith can make this possible. But you need to believe what I say. So they didn't need their faith increased. They just needed faith because they weren't exercising it in what Jesus said. That your faith may not fail. Luke 22:32. Jesus is praying for Peter. I have prayed for you, Peter, that your faith may not fail. The word fail, eklepte, it doesn't mean a faith that is unsuccessful. It means that your faith may not cease or stop or quit. This is not about failing faith versus succeeding faith. This is about faith that continues. that doesn't quit. So again, this is not about the intensity or the amount or even the success of Peter's faith. It's Jesus prayed that Peter wouldn't stop believing. Full of faith, Acts 11:24. This is about Barnabas, says he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. Barnabas was full of faith. Now, the word full has the sense of controlled by. Some of you remember our discussions on the filling of the Holy Spirit. You put your hand in a glove, and so you fill the glove with the result that if you move this finger, that part of the glove also moves. Your hand is controlling the glove because it's filling it. This is not the idea of filled up with faith, like full faith versus partial faith. This is not Barnabas had a full glass of faith versus a half empty glass of faith. No, this is Barnabas was controlled by the Holy Spirit and faith. So again, it's not about the amount or the intensity. Here, it's about what faith actually does. The obedience of faith, Romans 1:5 and Romans 16:26. The obedience of faith. There are those who have taken this, that there can be such a thing as obedient faith or disobedient faith. But that's not what this says at all. Obedience of faith, it's a genitive, and it is the obedience which springs from or generates from faith. The point is, faith generates obedience. When you believe someone, you trust someone, you will end up being willing to do what they say, obey them. Why? Because you trust them. Faith generates obedience. And that's the case in both Romans 1:5 and Romans 16:26. It's not saying there's some other kind of faith that doesn't produce obedience. No. Faith generates obedience. Grew strong in faith. Romans chapter 4, verse 20. With respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now some take from this verse that there's such a thing as weak faith versus strong faith. But please notice in Romans 4:20, it does not say that faith grew strong. It says that Abraham grew strong in, probably better, by or through faith. It's not his faith grew strong, it's he grew strong because of faith. So faith brings strength. To each a measure of faith, Romans 12:3 and 12:6. Now the phrase a measure of faith, and in verse 6 the proportion of his faith. This has to do with faith in the use of spiritual gifts for believers. This has nothing to do with saving faith. This is faith for the use of spiritual gifts, that each has a measure of faith, gives us the idea that we each have different gifts according to a different measure given and measured out by God, the third person, the Holy Spirit, given, measured out by Him for their exercise. This is not saying that God gave some smaller faith and others larger faith. But it is saying God gave people differing gifts, and some people have more gifts and some people have less gifts. And so the more gifts you have, the more you need to exercise faith in the appropriation of those gifts. There is a measure of faith. Romans 12:6 says, if prophecy according to the proportion, the Greek word is analogia, you get the word analog or analogy. So, according to the, so, in other words, if you're prophesying or preaching, don't be prophesying and preaching about things that you don't believe or know anything about. Okay? Prophesy according to the proportion, the analogy of the faith, to the extent that you understand this and you really believe it, preach it. But if you don't understand it, don't preach it, because you don't believe it. So don't preach it. So a measure of faith has to do with the use of spiritual gifts, not how much faith you have. The one who is weak in faith, Romans 14:1. Now, again, this is not saying faith is weak. This is saying the one who is weak. It's talking about a weak person, not weak faith. And these are all believers. So this is talking about a weak believer. Weak in or regarding faith. The person is weak because he doesn't believe about freedom in Christ. The issues in Romans 14 are what foods you're allowed to eat and whether you have to keep the Sabbath or not and things like that. And the ones who are weak are the ones who do not believe that they have freedom in Christ. The ones who are weak are the ones who have all the man-made legalistic rules of what you're not allowed to do and what you have to do. If you have legalistic rules, you're weak. That's what it's saying. So this is not an issue of weak faith versus strong faith. This is about weak people versus strong people based on what they believe. As your faith grows, 2 Corinthians 10:15. As the Corinthians believe more and more biblical truth, their faith grows. Paul's sphere is enlarged. That is, Paul's presence is less necessary with the Corinthians. Therefore, Paul is free to go and preach elsewhere. His sphere is enlarged because the Corinthians believe more and more biblical truth. They don't have a greater amount of faith, but they do have a greater amount of biblical truth that they believe. So their faith is growing. So this is not an issue of shrinking faith versus growing faith. This is an issue of believing more and more biblical truth. Your faith is greatly enlarged. 2 Thessalonians 1:3. The Thessalonians continued believing more and more biblical truth. That's what it means for their faith to be enlarged. They believe more and more. By the way, it talks about their love as well. The love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater. That love is growing for more and more one another's. It's not saying that their love is growing in amount or intensity. Say, I love you more intensely this week than I did last week. Well, that might be great, but that's not what this is about. And it's not that way with faith either. The faith is greatly enlarged. It's not that I believe it bigger this week than I did before. It's that I believe more and more and more biblical truth now. So it's greatly enlarged. Sincere faith. 1 Timothy 1:5 and 2 Timothy 1:5. The goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Somebody says, see there, it's got to be sincere. 2 Timothy 1:5, Timothy was one of the sincere faith, like his grandmother and mother. Sincere faith. Now the word sincere, anapokritu, we would say literally, not hypocritical. King James Version says it, unfeigned faith. Sincere faith is not a more or less feeling of sincerity. Sincere faith is faith that is real. It's not fake. It's not put on. It's not feigned. It's not hypocritical. It's not pretend faith. It's not someone who says they have faith, but they don't really believe. So, well, are there people like that? Oh, yeah. They say they have faith, but they don't really believe. That's pretend. That's fake. Those people are not believers. They are make-believers. They are fakers. Timothy had real faith. So, let's say it this way. I'm holding my right hand up in the air in front of you. How many of you can see it? Okay, if you can't see it, I am holding my right hand up in the air. Now, how many of you believe this is my right hand? Okay? Good. You believe this is my right hand. Okay? On the count of three, believe it more sincerely. Can you? Okay, on the count of three, believe it more intensely. I really believe it. On the count of three, believe it harder. Okay, no. You either what? Either believe it or you don't. Now, is it possible that someone said, I will say that I believe that that's Pastor Keith's right hand up in the air, but I don't really believe it? Why would you say you believe it then if you don't believe it? Well, because I'm in church and everybody else put their hand up, so I didn't want to look bad. Okay? Do you know there are people who treat faith in Jesus for salvation like that? I just say that I have it. I don't really have it. I don't even really want to have it, but I say that I have it in order to be socially acceptable to the people around me. Okay? Now, in unpolite terms, that's called lying. Okay? That is fake. That's saying that you believe, but not believing. Okay? Paul's point here in talking about sincere faith is that Timothy had real faith. Timothy wasn't just saying that he had faith. He had real faith. He really did believe. By the way, saying that you have faith in Jesus does not and will not save you. Believing Him will save you. But saying that you're believing Him doesn't do anything. Okay? It's not what you say, it's what you believe. And so that's what Paul is saying here. So, what have we demonstrated today? We've demonstrated that our conclusion that the validity of faith is dependent on the validity of the object of faith, that conclusion stands. Okay? Comments about little faith, big faith, great faith, all that, don't change that at all. Because it's talking about the same thing. And we have seen that we grow in faith. Our faith is enlarged in that sense by the Word of God. The more you believe from the Word of God, the more you are growing. Okay? Not just the more you read your Bible, but the more you actually believe what it says. And you believe more and more and more, you are growing in faith. If someone has never believed, trusted Jesus Christ for eternal life, we pray that what you've heard today will be used of the Holy Spirit to motivate you to believe and be saved. We'll talk more about that next time. And for all who are saved, may this motivate you to be in the Word, hearing it, reading it, studying it, so that you might believe more and more, because that is how you grow in faith. The sincere milk of the Word, Peter said, that you may grow by it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for faith. And we thank you for the objectivity of it. And because of the objectivity of it, we can know whether we have believed or not. And so, Lord, in this, give us great assurance. Faith generates in us obedience. Faith generates in us strength. And so, Lord, may we be built in that today. In Jesus' name, amen.